world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California, and a very pleasant good day to you. I'm Margaret Gray. That is Bud Dickman. That over there... Oh, you just got here, right?
Yeah, I just got... Oh, I've been here for the last half hour.
Why weren't you jumping in on the commercial?
I didn't want any part of that commercial. Nothing against betonline.ag, but you guys, you were making garbage out of it. Garbage.
Well, anyway, that's General Shaw, and that's Bud Dickman. I'm Margaret Gray. Here's Phil.
All right, welcome.
Look at that. Well, I don't know, man. You know, I was making garbage out of it. Thanks a lot. I was, you know, we do a free-flowing thing here, man. Okay, man. You know, hey, man. I know, Phil, look, I know you're real loose and groovy. You're loose and groovy. Hey, watch it.
Well, I mean, it would be nice if you... Never mind. It's okay. It's good. It is what it is.
Yeah, there you go. So you were going to talk about this. Now, the thing I was interested in...
Oh, the tape.
Yeah, is that tape of Lasorda.
Yeah, okay. So as I was saying during the commercial, and a lot of you guys might have missed that, I don't know. I got a hold of this tape from... and it's online. It's on YouTube now. It's everywhere. But back in the day, before the advent of the internet, we used to exchange these tapes furtively and secretly over the back fence and, you know, all this stuff.
Back fence, return. Is that accessible? All right, sorry.
What is it with you, Bud? Are you asking for it this early? Really? Really? I just sat down with my coffee, and you want me to lay into
your... Now, wait a minute, Margaret, will you?
You don't want to say it.
I didn't say anything, man. So these tapes were being exchanged, and I got a hold of one. I got a bunch of tapes. I mean, I met the great jazz sax player Zoot Sims, who nobody here knows, I understand, so don't make a big thing out of it. But Zoot Sims was playing at the Jazz Lounge in Orlando, Florida, all these years ago. I mean, like, oh, God.
That's to be 40 years.
A long time ago. And I said, I understand, Mr., you know, I introduced myself. Did you, were you in a jam session with Jack Kerouac, the poet? He said, yeah, I was. He said, it was great. He says, not for anything I did, for what Jack did. And he said, I'll send you a copy of the tape. I said, thank you. So all of a sudden, I get this copy of Jack Kerouac and Zoot Sims in the mail from New York.
All right, so all of this is to say, not that I got anything against beatniks, Phil, but...
All of this is to say that, so here's this tape of Tommy Lasorda, and it's really an amazing tape. It's funny. It has a little bit of pathos. There's all kinds of anger. The Dodgers are frustrated. What happens is, I don't know what game of the series it was, but the Dodgers and Yankees in 78. Doug Rao, I think, was a starting pitcher. Doug Rao was a young guy, you know, one of the Dodger starters. Well, obviously. Well, he could have been a reliever.
Yes, he could have been a reliever. I don't know anything about it, but he could have been a reliever.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, he started the game, and... As Lasorda goes out to the mound, you hear Rao say, I feel good, Tommy. And Lasorda, in his colorful language, says, I don't care how you feel. There's four hits up there.
Oh, so Lasorda wasn't having any of that, huh?
No, he wasn't.
That's the way he was. Everybody said he was like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lasorda wasn't a bad guy. Wasn't a mean guy. But he was just telling Rao, I don't care how you feel. It isn't like I'm coming out here to see how you're doing. You know, he'd given up four hits. And I think they were down 2-0, and it was very early. And I think it might have been like the fifth game, the Dodgers were on, maybe the fourth game, the Dodgers are down 2-1. So you hear him yelling at Rao. Rao comes back yelling at him, saying they all hit the opposite way.
Now, what does that mean?
That's the direction that the ball is hit in relation to the batter.
Yeah.
What?
The batter's a right-handed hitter, and he hits it to the left.
All right, Phil, I don't know these things.
Margaret, just listen. Listen and learn.
Yes, sure.
So, Rao said they were all hit the opposite way. I don't know how that's any defense of him.
Yeah, he said they're all hit the opposite way, and he said, if you get a left-handed hitter, I can strike this, you know, blankety-blank out.
Yeah, so I can strike this MF out.
Right, I know, so whatever, you know. You know, what's his name? Lasorda was having none of it, and he kept telling him to shut up, and he kept saying, it's my decision, I'll make the decisions, I'm the manager of the team, I'll make the decision, you don't make the decision, all this stuff. And it was getting really heated until finally you hear Davey Lopes come in from second base, who says, it's looking really bad out here, you guys got to calm down. And Rao says something, and Lopes says, look, I don't care, he says, but you guys are going to talk about it in Lasorda's office. And Lasorda says, yeah, we'll talk about it in my office. So they calm down for about a half a second, and then Lasorda starts in again. He says, that's a hell of a thing for you to be out here talking to me like that. And Rao says, look, you know, he says, I don't... Rao started in to say something, and Lasorda says, I don't care how you feel. He says, we're down 2-1. That was it. They were down 2-1 in the series. He said, and we got four hits up there. And he said, Rivers and Jackson, both those guys, I think, were they left-handers? He said, Rivers and Jackson, they were both left-handers. You did get them out. He says, I can't keep you out here in this game. I got to pull you. And that was basically it. And then you hear him go back to the dugout. And he's talking about the infield position, playing him back. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that part. He says, play him back.
Yeah, and then he said, Lopes doesn't want to get back. I hear some obscenity there, and there's a baseball term. Maybe it's just an everyday term called brown bagger. They use that. I don't know what that meant, but they were disparaging Rao after he'd gone into the shower. So it was really interesting, and you forget that this is a man's job, you know, and while we're out there, we're watching the game, and we're having popcorn and hot dogs.
Well, of course, and you know that Frank, for a very, very brief time, represented athletes. He represented McDuck Ginnon.
Who was that?
McDuck Ginnon. Wasn't he a football player?
I've never heard of him.
No, ma'am.
You've never heard of this guy?
No.
Frank said this guy was a football player or bold or something. Anyway, Frank was a sports agent.
For how long?
About 2 weeks. But during that time, I know it sounds short, but during that time, he said that it was very unrewarding because they were slobs, you know.
I guess Mr. Gray is on line two.
Christ on a crutch.
Well, Margaret, you know, you're the one.
Mr. Gray on line two.
I mean, I'm the one.
Frank, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I want to let Margaret know something. First, you're going to come out there, you're going to talk about me and one of the things that I do.
Frank, didn't you represent a football player?
No, Tuck McGinn was her name, and she danced, for God's sake. She and her wife. It was a dance team.
I thought that they were athletes.
No. You wouldn't believe, Phil. 15 times I tell him this.
All right, well, I mean, you know, you guys get your signals crossed.
So, Frank, this was a dance team.
Yes, it was a dance team. Duck McGinnon and her wife, Beverly, and they danced basically on cruise. This was the very beginning of my career. I wasn't proud of this. I'm representing a couple of people that tap dance at a cruise ship. You know how low that is?
Well, Frank, you know...
No, wait. Do you know how low a man's got to go to be the agent of people that tap dance on cruise ships for customers that are 80 years of age and may not get out of that restaurant alive?
What is that?
They may not... Well, hold on, Phil. They may not get out of that restaurant alive. By the way, they come down, they have their dinner, and they're staring at something like either the plate or the floor, and you know... They may be dead. I don't know. And that's what Tuck and her wife, Beverly, every night. And I'd say, I don't know if they're... Tuck would say, were they alive? And I'd say, I have no idea.
Now, wait just a minute, Frank. You're kidding, right?
Kidding about what?
Whether they were alive or not.
I'm telling you right now. We go out on these ships. We took the cruise ship down to Ensenada, the one to Hawaii. Tuck and her wife, they danced. And then they danced. They danced, excuse me, my language, but they danced their asses off. In fact, Tuck was the one who wrote that book, Margaret.
Well, I knew that title had been lifted from someone.
Yeah. Tuck wrote...
What book?
Well, Tuck wrote a book called Dance Till Your Ass Gives Out, and that was stolen or lifted by the Burnside brothers. They were two brothers, and...
Well, I'm assuming they were two brothers if they were called the Burnside brothers.
Right. So, but it was depressing till finally when the ship docked in Pedro, that last trip out, and this was about 1969, I said to Tuck and her wife, I said, you're beautiful people, but I can't. And they both of them said, no, we give up too. We quit. And they both went off, and he became a dentist, and she did flooring, I think. And
So Tuck was a dentist?
No, the wife. Beverly was a dentist, and Tuck did flooring.
What a strange story.
Yeah, that's a hell of a career path.
Hey, you know what? As long as it got them out of that cruise ship, because that was...
Frank, thank you very much.
Well, I had to jump in because he's butchering it alive, Margaret. Why don't you ask me, Margaret?
Frank, I didn't know the whole story. I thought they were athletic.
Well, yeah, to the extent that dancers are.
Yeah, dancers are athletic.
But they're not athletes, not professional athletes. This is the woman that I married, and he thinks he knows everything, so...
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Yeah, one other thing. By the time...
Frank Gray, folks, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You gotta butcher that up, Ms. Gray.
I didn't butcher anything up. Frank said he represented athletes. He might have said it once, and then I forgot. I don't know.
Well, I mean, dancers, they're not... That's the most bizarre story.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Frank, what was he doing? I never knew that he did personal representation.
It with personal management, and he didn't like it. You know, he had his degree, he had his law practice in entertainment law. He was doing some producing, but he also did some personal management. And he thought that this was going to be a thing for him. Got a hold of these two dancers who tap danced and did full Broadway reviews on these cruise ships that were primarily for the elderly, and you know the place. They come right out of Long Beach, Phil.
No, I know. The same. They still have those same ships that are running out of there.
They still have the ships. What are you talking about?
Do they not have ships that run down to Ensenada?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they still do all those party runs, but you're saying this was a boat that was strictly old people.
I don't know. Frank said that when he sat down, all he saw were faces of elderly people. He didn't know if they were alive, dead, if they were staring at the floor, the ceiling. He didn't know because the heads were cocked in different directions. Laughing about dead elderly people.
No, Margaret, come on. The head...
Frank said they'd be staring at the ceiling, staring at their feet through the whole act. And then the lights would go up, and you'd hear one person clapping, and no one would get up to leave. And I asked Frank, I said, well, did you hang around to see if they were dead? He said, would you? And I had to admit he had me on that one.
Well, were they all dead?
I have no idea. I suspect they were not.
Yeah, probably just waiting around for another round of drink or something, you know, or maybe the check.
Yeah, that's what they're doing, man. They're waiting for the check. They're staring at the ceiling.
Why do you find death so funny, Phil?
Margaret.
No. I want to get this out in the open. Why do you find death so funny?
Because it is.
It is, huh?
It is. It's part of life. What's not funny about... I mean, there's ways that people die can really be gruesome. But death is death. It's like, you know, if being born can be funny, why can't dying be funny?
You are really sick, you know that?
Yeah, Phil, you and this whole topic. I don't bring it up, you guys bring it up.
Yeah, sir, every time that one time you said you don't care about dying.
Yeah, that was funny.
It ain't like I'm... No. You got it all wrong. I didn't say I don't care about dying. Of course I do. But I'm not... I don't feel a great fear of it. Why would you be afraid of something that's like taking a breath?
You said that dying was a natural act like taking a dump.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, great. That makes me feel real good.
Well, if you put it that way, dump... You know what, Phil? You're very vile.
Yeah, you also said Ms. Gray all agreeing with everything.
That was great. You agree with that?
What is it all of a sudden on me?
Because you're the one that's always in the bathroom.
Oh, my God. You...
All right, Margaret, I'm sorry.
You guys, you identify me with bowel movements. Is that it?
Margaret, you're the one.
No, I didn't say anything of the sort. I simply said if a bowel movement can be enjoyable, then I understand, Phil, when you say that death is like taking a dump.
And you think that's a good thing?
It can be.
If I said, I don't remember, I had a discussion with the general about it, and I said it was a natural act, man. It's like being born. Is being born bad or good?
Some people it is.
I'd say, yeah, for some people it's real bad.
All right, okay. But the point is, it's the cycle of life, man. It's not an aberration. It's not something that isn't supposed to happen. It's not, oh my God, they died, you know? Everybody dies. So if everybody dies, what's to be afraid of, man? It's like breathing. It's like...
Taking a dump.
Sure. You know?
Well, what if you're constipated? Yeah, see?
I'm sure, John, you think that's a big thing to say.
Well, what is it with you all of a sudden?
What are you laughing at? You two guys sound like complete... Excuse me for saying this, Margaret. Jagoffs.
Hey. Thanks a lot, Phil. I'm going to remember that.
Please do. All right, we're going to be back with Don Mixa. Don Mixa is with us, and he saw The Joker.
Oh, Don's going to give the review of The Joker. Yes, this I've got to hear.
Yeah, Don Mixa is with us with a review of Joker. Not The Joker, is it?
I think it is called Joker.
Well, now, what difference does it make? Do you call them The Led Zeppelin or Led Zeppelin?
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, yeah.
Very good, Phil. Yay. There, you get your brownie point.
On the world-famous Phil Henry Show, brownie point. Guys, it's Phil Henry reminding you that our merchandise store is open. We have reopened the merch store, and man, have we got some stuff in there. We got all kinds of groovy things. We got all kinds of, you know, I mean, it's like it ain't even the same merch store, you know.
You know, a lot of people like the downloads, though.
I know. We'll get to the downloads, but I want to talk about, like, for instance, our new Citizens Auxiliary Police Flare Drop Team T-shirt. This thing's beautiful, man. It's like yellow. It's got a big silver stripe.
It is the most god-awful thing.
Oh, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Margaret? Man, you'd love to wear that at any movie opening.
I don't think so.
It is a beautiful thing. We also, of course, have the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. Those are a fantastic offering. And, of course, from Belmar Academy, Vernon Dozier and the crew, the Belmar Academy Slaughterhouse football jerseys. and R.C. Collins Bradley Military Academy stadium blankets and t-shirts and just a lot of other stuff. So you got to go over to our merch store, and what you do is go to the menu, and it drops down, or something drops down. Probably shouldn't put it that way.
Yeah, I don't like the term drops down.
Neither do I. Well, that's what it does. It drops down. What is the problem with you guys?
Man, they think it's all about, you know, dropping down. They think it's about dropping down a gob of cone.
How dare you? All right, wait a minute, wait. What is it with you, bud? Gob a cone.
Well, that's what they're... I wasn't thinking of that, but yeah, now that the kid says it.
So go to our merch store and buy something. Thank you.
Boy, great out, Phil.
You're welcome.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Now here's Mr. Henry.
All right, thanks so much, Robert. We have with us Don Mixa on the phone from Seattle, Washington. And Don is, of course, he's going to be commenting on the movie that he just saw. Now, a lot of people are seeing the movie. It's broken all kinds of box office, and that is Joker. And Joker is, they ain't joking, huh, Don?
No, they're not joking. It's a real thrill ride, Phil, and one that I think, you know, everybody's going to make up their own minds.
Well, I hear the thing's really violent.
It's violent, and that's something that I stand against.
Now, I know, yeah, Don, you and I were talking extensively. You do not like violence in films. You think it's cheap, and it's you said that it is not really a way, if you want to expose people to the horror of violence, the movies is not the way to do it.
No, because they always pull their punches in the movies. You know, violence in movies, of course, is extremely, well, it's extreme.
That's like extremely extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's extremely extreme. That's right.
No, but it can be.
It can be very extreme, yeah.
But my understanding is, and you'll tell us, Don, that the violence in Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix, who's a phenomenal actor, just phenomenal.
Joaquin Phoenix has been one of these gems. You know, everything he's in, he hits the ball out of the park. Everything he's in, he puts his all into it. And he is the talent of that. I remember... God rest his soul, the young River Phoenix, and...
River, the very tragic life that he led.
Yeah, well, it was... those are the times, and... Joaquin Phoenix has been the one with the legs and the one with the... In my opinion, the one with the talent. He's a phenomenal talent, and puts us all into this film.
Now, let's talk... If you want to talk about the violence in this movie that people say is extreme, over-the-top, controversial...
Well, that's the thing. I don't believe it is at all. As a matter of fact, I think this film pulls a lot of punches. It does not go where it should go. I don't like violent films, Phil. And one of the things I don't like about some violent films is they tell you it's violent, and then you go in and you watch it, and it's not violent at all, or it's not near as violent as you thought it would be, as the hype was.
So what are you saying? This film is not like that?
No, this film is like that.
So it's not as violent as they say?
No, nowhere near. And that really angered me, and I went home because I do a blog. I do a movie blog for one of our on-campus newspapers here at the University of Washington, and it's a little movie blog called Me and Him.
What's that mean, Me and Him?
Well, the movies, that's like our friend, Me and Him, meaning the movie. And
Is this yours?
That's my blog.
Oh, you named it.
Yeah.
Me and Him, that's...
Okay, so you're like the fifth person now that's told me that sounds disturbing.
Well, I mean...
Well, do you think, in other words, that I've got a problem?
No, what do you mean, me and him?
I look at movies as if it's my friend. All right, forget it.
Don, do whatever you want to do, man. It's okay.
No, I'm not going to have people behind my back saying, there goes Don Mixa, the real-life version of Joker. No,
I don't think so, Don. You have a movie blog called Me and Him, and...
Yeah, it's called Me and Him. You know what? On second thought, I'm going to keep it that way. I'm going to keep calling it Me and Him.
That's what I think you ought to do.
All right. And if it scares people, if they think it's freaky... Anyway.
All right, let's not bail out, man. Come on.
Buck up, Don.
All right. So, what do you want to know?
Well, what I want to know is, what is your objection to this film? Is it too violent? Is it not violent enough?
I don't like violent films, so I think I said that. Okay.
All right, Don, calm the hell down, all right? We're sorry, but the name of your blog, Me and Him, is a little scary. It's as if you've got an imaginary friend.
And maybe I do have an imaginary friend. Maybe I do, and maybe it's female. Maybe you'll see me some nights laying on a couch, and you'll see my...
Oh, my God, see your rear end going up and down? Is this an invisible lady?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, fuck, man. You know it, dude.
I just hear you say the F word.
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
No, hey, Don, you know what? If this is where we're going with this conversation, I'd rather just nip it in the bud right now.
No, he asked me the question. It's nobody's business but my own.
You're making love to a person that isn't there.
Me and him is a woman. All right, the him and me and him is a woman.
And you're taking him. What is this, a Frank Gray thing?
I got the inspiration from Frank Gray, yeah. Well, what is it with everybody? I want you to be honest. Do I need a psychiatrist? Do I or do I not?
I don't know.
I don't think so, as long as you're not violent.
I am not violent. Let me tell you what bothers me. I've been able to help myself through an awful lot. You know, you told me once, Phil, and a lot of people, that I had foul-reeking breath. I don't know if I've been able to get a handle on it, but at this point in my life, I don't care anymore because I'm able to take those things, those fears, to take all of those things that upset me, and I'm able to move them into a different... Like, me and him is about my love of movies and the fact that I don't have much of a social life. My bad breath, what have I done with that? Well, every morning I get up and I go, ha, into the mirror, as if to say, hey, you know what, I am what I am. And there's other things.
So you just don't care. You don't care about... You're not using any mouthwash anymore.
No, I'm not using mouthwash. No. People are not going to humiliate me into that anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you care about whether people go on, you know, they're saying, it's Don Mixer, man. He's got a goddamn, something died late last night, about 9:45. You don't care? Or is that just something that you...
What do you mean something died late last night, about 9:45?
These guys are idiots. Okay, so you've been able to cope with life.
I'm a strange man, and I may be able to cope with life on my own terms. Okay, and what else you want me to tell you? I thought I was on here to review...
You're going to review who?
I'm on to review.
He's going to review Joker. Yes, you are. Tell me, Don, I want to know this because you made a comment that I thought was very interesting. The movie, you don't like movie violence. This movie's not violent enough, so therefore it bothers you.
It bothers me that it pulls its punches. You tell me this is a violent movie, and then I go in ready to hate it, and I'm bored by it. I get bothered.
Well, how does it pull the punches? I don't understand.
Well, all right, let me tell you. Three distinct scenes that I thought they could have done far better with. First of all, there is a scene where he attacks an office bully, and there is a guy there who is a friend of his who witnesses the attack, and he stabs the guy in the neck, and then he lets the other guy, who is kind of a friend of his, he lets him go. Now, I thought that was a great opportunity for them to show what kind of a psycho... Just a complete off the chain, out of his mind, needs to be put into a cage like an animal. That would have been a place where they could have showed it. But instead, they had him let that one guy leave the room, and the guy, he gives him a kiss, too.
Who gives who a kiss? This is the Joker kissing the guy?
Yeah. Now, that scene would have worked had the Joker not only killed this asshole, excuse my French, but he also killed the other guy.
Yeah, what do you want him to kill the other guy? He's his friend.
That's what makes it evil and violent.
All right, well, you're talking about some really disturbing stuff.
Well, exactly. And this is what they're telling me. This movie's violent, disturbing? Not a chance. Not a chance.
Well, but that would push it over the edge for me. I don't think that...
Well, Margaret, are you going to go see this movie anyway?
Of course not.
All right, well, then what difference does it make?
But that kind of disturbed violence...
Well...
I can see your point, man. I can see your point, yeah. If you really want to say the Joker is psycho and off the chain, then he's not going to let a guy who's a friend of his, he's going to kill him too.
Exactly. There's another scene in the movie, Phil, that I think it starts his violent streak where he's attacked in a subway by three businessmen who are making fun of him, and he turns around and he shoots two of them dead. And then he chases this guy. And one guy's trying to get away, and he's chasing him down, finally shoots him in the back. And I thought, well, that was tame. And again, they said, well, this is one of those violent scenes of the film. I said, I was really angry, and I just picked up a magazine I had, and I threw it at the screen, and that's when I had to talk to the manager. And
you threw a magazine at the screen?
Yeah, because I was let down by these chumps, and these...
All right, so what did you want that scene to be?
He could have... What he should have done is left that guy alive, but taken a trophy, like cut off his nose.
Holy Christ. God damn, Don. You're a guy that doesn't like violence in movies... And yet you're disappointed that the Joker is...
See what you're doing? You're going... See, you don't know. That's what throws you off. That's what throws all of us off. I hate violence in movies. But I want to hate the violence in the movies. I don't want to sit there and be bored almost to death. You understand, Phil? I mean, There was a point, and God forgive me for this, there was a point in that film, Joker, where I wanted to unzip and just...
Don, there's a woman present.
I'm sorry, Margaret, but I've got to, you know...
You wanted to unzip and what?
You're talking about paddling?
I mean, I wanted to do something.
You were that bored?
Bored to death. And then finally there's a scene. Now, you know, I hope I'm not giving too many things away.
We don't give a shit. Go ahead.
We don't care about spoilers?
No, not on this show.
All right, well, there's a scene where he kills his mother.
Who kills his mother?
Joker.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's great. I mean, you got to understand, a lot of people are psycho and everything.
Yeah. We're not saying the Delmonico will kill you.
If the Delmonico ever killed me, I'd come back, I'd crawl, I mean, I would scrape my way through the dirt over the grave, push my way through the dirt and the soil, come up.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay.
Oh, I see. I'm weird and you're not.
Well, Margaret, I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm talking, but here's what, he smothers her with a pillow in the film, okay, Phil?
All right.
And that's how the Joker kills his mother. And I thought it would have been far more satisfying if he'd taken a knife or a gun and shot her through the pillow, shot her face, either stabbed through the pillow or shot her face with a gun. It would have been violent.
And why does he kill his mother?
Because his mother left him when he was a little boy to be sexually abused by these various adults. And she winds up in a nut house, and, you know, it's a very interesting thing. And, so I'm waiting for some kind of really exciting payoff. And what do I got? The guy smothers her. Like, I've seen that scene before. I saw it in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I saw it in that film Gladiator. I've seen, you know, a million times where the guy smothers the guy. You know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, by the way, Frances Conroy plays the mother. And didn't you tell me you did a pilot once with her? Or,
no, I mean, she was in a pilot that I was in, yes. And no, I wasn't. Yeah, I'm not. I probably didn't belong on the same stage with her. She's a great actress.
She's a very good actress, but again, I think that...
What do you mean you don't belong on the same stage with her?
I don't want to talk about me, okay? We're talking about this movie, Joker. So then what?
That's it. I mean, those are the three scenes that I thought the film really... You know, if we want to get right down to categorizing these films, this movie, The Joker, or Joker, those three scenes, I think, epitomize just how much this movie sucked ape.
You're really disturbed by this, Don, aren't you?
Sick and tired of this.
What are you sick and tired of?
Look, I don't like violence in films.
Yeah, so you say. So what's the point?
The point is, show me a movie. I say I don't like violence in films. Well, I'm all getting ready to hate the movie because it's really violent. I hate the movie because it bored me to tears. That's the part that I think, more than anything, is unforgivable for me. And so that's why I said, well, look, make it this violent. And I can hate it, you know.
So make it this violent, and Don Mixon will then say what?
Then I'll say it's a stinking, rotten thing. It's not even a film. It's a thing. A thing that ought to be beaten with a crowbar. Okay? You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah, all right. So, but if it isn't too violent, then what?
Then I want to set fire to it.
So you want to beat it up no matter what?
If it's a violent film, I want to beat it like it's a thing, like it's a thing that came from the subterranean depths of the earth. If it's boring, I want to burn it and just kick it down the street. Now, those are two very, I know it sounds stupid, those are two distinct acts.
You know what, Don? Me and Him is the name of your blog, huh?
Oh, I see. You're about to say I'm nuts?
Yeah, got a little bit being nuts. All the stuff you're saying.
What? What did he say?
He's making a good point, Don. You do sound a little crackers. On the one, you got a blog called Me and Him, and it's actually an invisible woman that you go to the movies with, right?
You know, Phil, I love you, but I swear, if I had a gun...
Oh, yeah?
I'm kidding.
Don't kid like that, Mixer.
All right.
Don, what is the problem? You've got this real...
I don't like violent films, okay?
So you've been telling us.
Okay. Then I go to a movie that they told me was violent. I sit down. It's not violent the way they said it would be. So I'm telling them, make it this violent, then I'll hate it, and I'll beat it like it's a thing.
I got way too many people screaming on this show. We used to have guys crying.
Well, I'm awfully sorry.
No, wait, hold on. Way too many people. We used to have guys crying, people crying. Now we got people screaming, losing their temper. What the hell's your problem? Maybe you don't want to do these movie reviews for us.
I want to. I want to point out the violent films.
So, Joker, violent or not?
It's not violent enough for me, no.
And you hate violence in movies?
Yes.
There you go, folks.
Makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Don.
Oh, I see. So you're going to hang up and talk about me like I'm something hanging out of an ape's ass.
There's Don Mixon on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, we had don't we have any movie music, bud?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We do, yeah. We got the one that Mr. Henry and everybody uses, like you use, General.
Don't use Hooray for Hollywood, for Christ's sake. That's what we use in the cinema.
Yeah, we got to find a... If we're going to have Don coming on here and doing these movie reviews, we have to. We simply must find, whatever we got to find. Phil Hendry Show here at the El Pacifico in Southern California.
You should tell people you're going to be moving from the El Pacifico.
Yeah, I am. I'm.
When's that going to happen?
Not anytime soon, but we are going to be moving our studios closer to Los Angeles, closer, a little bit further in from the ocean.
Yeah, you're going to miss it being at the ocean, Mr. Henry.
I'll probably miss it, yeah, but I lived here for... This is the 11th year that I've lived here. And what I miss even more is living near the city and living near, like, coffee shops and restaurants and places where other people are.
Well, Phil, there are people out here.
Yeah, but... Phil's not around the artists. You don't want to be around a lot of these guys that are clam fishermen or whatever the hell.
Yeah, you don't want to be around a clam fisherman?
What do you mean a clam fisherman?
Well, who are the people who are out here?
There's a lot of people out here, man. There's a lot of people that are, commuting into L.A., they commute to Santa Barbara or whatever, but it's a very remote area, and so...
Well, we've down through the years, we've seen the beautiful and gorgeous pictures you've taken of the El Pacifico, Phil, and the ocean. My God, we'll miss it very, very much. But the one thing I won't miss, you're right, is the stifling, suffocating boredom of it all. So.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Phil...
Phil, you brought it up.
Yeah, but anyway... No, I didn't bring it up. You guys brought it up. But yeah, I am moving, so at some point, not anytime soon, but at some point we are going to be moving.
Now, here's a great one for Phil. Yesterday, he went all the way to this place. He thought he had an appointment, and then what happened?
Yeah, I went all the way. Actually, that was today. I went all the way into town for where I thought I had an appointment. God damn, look at that.
God, look at that. It's a big bang. I'll say it's a big bang.
Yeah, what about that?
Would you clean it up before my fist goes right straight through your head, into Robert's head, goes through his head, and I've got two heads there on my arm, and I'm shaking, I'm trying to shake them free. You know what I'm saying, Phil?
Jesus.
Oh, grow up.
You're
not going to tell the story about going into town and then realizing that your appointment was tomorrow.
Well, you just told the story, so. So I'll be back there tomorrow.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated.
All rights reserved
on Podcast One.
This song is called Tourists Shooting Tarballs from Party People in a Can.
That's the group.
Yes.
As far as you are, they told us to stay out of the show.